How would you like to be able to have the mindset of peak performers? Mark Talukdar will tell us how. So, Mark, tell us, what does it take for someone to create a peak performance mindset?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Relentless obsession and understanding what peak performance really means. See, when we talk about peak, we think about a point on top of a hill, but when you reach that point, you come back down. That's where the biggest lie lies. Peak performance isn't always hitting 10 out of 10 and then not hitting at all after. Peak performance is understanding I can hit a 7 out of 10 and sustain that over a long period of time.
Thank you. Why did you mention that? Is it because you find that a lot of people aim for that peak performance, like for that like one time like hit wonder, and then they kind of let themselves go and they forget about the mindset that they need to have to like not just run for a sprint? It's like a marathon that you have to kind of keep all your life so that you can continuously have this, you know, like success after success.
Absolutely, because that's what social media glorifies. Social media glorifies giving it all you have, right? Not helping people understand that when you give all you have on a specific day, whatever you're doing, you can't sustain that every single day. So when people get that high of getting a 10 out of 10 on the day, and the next day they can't get the 10, the high drops, the motivation goes away, you start feeling like, well, I'm not doing enough, all these mental issues start happening.
Thank you. So tell us, how can someone sustain that kind of peak performance over the long term and to have that resilience that kind of tends to go with it? Because I think that, I mean, you don't always have like a great day. And yes, you could be like, you know, like training a lot and this kind of thing. But how do you sustain that with like a business that needs you 24/7?
So, I mean, there is no one trick. There are multiple things that I do. So number one is I do not believe in the power of quote unquote discipline, because the discipline, the word discipline invokes restraint. It's almost like a heavy backpack you put on. Today I have to be disciplined to do this. Tomorrow I have to be disciplined to do that. Every single day you're layering up discipline. What I like to think about is lack of self-sabotage. So most people, when you're talking about peak performance, the first idea is I'm going to be disciplined, I'm going to eat well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And over time, they'll fall off of the path, right? So I'll say, first step is to figure out what are the things you're doing today to self-sabotage, to sabotage yourself to getting from the success that you need to do. You need to first figure out a list to be able to understand what are the things you're doing. You start peeling those off and you start using data to track everything, right? Those are the first two steps. Third step would be having a single-handed tunnel vision. Most entrepreneurs are looking for peak performance in 15 areas at the same freaking time. Doesn't work that way, right? You pick the most important thing, you take the sabotage away, you use data, you go tunnel vision. Now you can start making conscious decisions to optimize that over time, understanding and looking at the data going up and down.
Thank you. You mentioned self-discipline. What's the problem with that?
It's heavy. I mean, how many people start the first year saying, January 1st, I'm going to lose weight, and how many people stick with it? Is it because majority of the population is not disciplined? No. See, I have achieved peak performance in business, and I've replicated that same thing in other areas of life. I used to be morbidly obese. I used to be somebody at a 41% body fat. And it wasn't that I wasn't disciplined because I'd built all these businesses, right? It's a different way of looking at things. Most people start wanting to become disciplined because they've heard some motivational talk, there's some event happening, and now they're putting on all these rules to kind of shape themselves in a way that they just can't sustain over time.
Thank you. Tell us how someone can start eliminating those elements that sabotage their success.
Very easy. You know exactly what you're doing to sabotage yourself in whatever areas in life that you want to see progress in. There is not a single person in the, if you're being open and honest with yourself, See, because we can lie and cheat and sell whatever stories we want to tell to the world. But when you're looking at the person in the mirror, you know exactly what you're doing. When I was obese, I knew what I was doing to be obese. You know, when I was not making enough money in my business, I knew exactly what I was doing to not be able to make money in business. So it's really an honesty exercise. It's a one-time honesty exercise. No daily journaling, no daily, you know, none of that stuff. You sit down one time and you do a brain dump of everything that I'm doing to sabotage my success. You give it all on the paper and you start then making a plan to how to not do it again.
Okay, sounds very easy, but you still kind of need the discipline to implement those things, don't you?
You just take one at a time away. It's peeling it out. You realize that I am just not going to hurt myself anymore. It's a removal process. Remember, discipline is an addition process, right? I'm living my life a certain way, and now I have to add discipline. It's an additional thing that you're doing to accomplish a result. Now I'm going to add this other thing to get a different result. So now you're adding 15 things because you need to be disciplined in 15 different areas. Instead, sabotage is a removal process. You stop doing something that you're doing. It's so much easier to stop eating sugar when you want to go on a fat loss journey than to make yourself go to the gym and work out an extra hour a day when your diet is still that bad.
Thank you. Tell us some good habits that someone would need to implement to obtain the mindset of a peak performer.
You know, we talked about rethinking discipline. We talked about data tracking. We talked about single learner obsession. The next thing is you have to make a conscious decision to meet new people. We as entrepreneurs tend to get into a little hole and then we stay in that little hole and we work really hard and we're working on all these problems. But peak performance really means optimization. Optimization almost leads to speed. There are other people who are doing the things that you want to do better than you. So if you can meet new people, talk to them, learn from them, give something back, take something back, if you can get into that habit, peak performance is much more easier to accomplish because you are no longer a solo cog in the wheel. Like you have partners who are helping you with it. Being financially secured. If you're an entrepreneur and you want to start a business, it's not a good idea to do that when you are struggling to pay rent on your own, right? You have to have a little bit of money in the bank so that you have the freedom to be able to push against something. A lot of entrepreneurs haven't done the work to have a little bit of a safety net before jumping into entrepreneurship because we know it's ups and downs. And when we don't have financial security, our emotions rule us and emotions are our worst advisors, right? So these are some few other things that you can do.
Thank you. What are the 10 commandments to obtain the mindset of a peak performer?
I mean, the very first one would be analyzing your success more than you analyze your failure. Almost no one ever sits down and spends time in analyzing this worked. Why did it work? Because we always take our successes for granted and we obsess over the failures. So number one, absolutely. Number two would be lean into your weird superpower. We all have our little superpowers, but sometimes they're weird. Somebody maybe talks too much. Somebody maybe doesn't talk enough. You know, there are all these stigmas that we have and we hide them. We know this is our superpower. I've met people who are amazing at talking and they go into any room and they can own the room. Sometimes they face the stigma of, oh, she talks too much or he talks too much. Don't hide yourself. Lean into it. Because if that is naturally something you do good, you have to put very little effort to become the top in that industry or in that type of work, right? Not accepting your weaknesses as, oh, this is just who I am. Yes, we are wired differently. Different people are wired differently. We have strengths and we have areas of opportunities. But just because I am weak in something now and I won't be perfect doesn't mean that I can't be better at it, right? A lot of times we just accept the way things are and we say, well, this is just the way I am and I'm never going to get better. Right? You can't achieve peak performance that way. And the rest of the things that I already told you about, you know, financial security, meeting valuable people, meeting new people, period, tunnel vision, all of those days. I do have another thing that I do, and I recommend my clients do, when it comes to organizing your time, because you brought up how to stay consistent. So it's called thematic days. You know, you have 7 days in a week, and on most days, most entrepreneurs are trying to do multiple things in one day. Don't do it. Sundays are my writing days, for example. Mondays are my social media outreach days. Tuesdays are my sales call. If you dedicate an entire day to a specific type of task and you're able to organize your week that way, you will get so much more done because of the lack of context switching.
Thank you. I like that. I do that. Okay, very good. Tell us your top three case studies of entrepreneurs you've worked with, that you've coached, or that, you know, where people have had incredible results from implementing this mindset of peak performance.
Oh my gosh, so many. I had a nurse, she works with me. She in New York City during COVID, she had to quit her job. She has three little kids and she was in her late 30s. And she had been a CRNA for the longest time. And she was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to start my own business, but I literally have no clue how to start my business. Right. Now she's America's largest fertility coach, holistic fertility coach. So that's a great example of somebody, because this is another thing, right? A lot of people with who are becoming entrepreneurs think that the ship has sailed. I should have done it when I was in my 20s. You know, now I have kids. That's just not true. If you know what to do, it's easy to do. But the sad thing is, just like fitness, also in business, there's so much garbage out there. It's very difficult to figure out what to do. Another case study, we'll talk about a sales client of mine. He was young. He joined a sales organization. He wanted to be good at sales because we know if you're not good at sales, you're not going to be able to be a very successful business person, especially that's what the data shows, right? He struggled a lot, but started with me understanding how to sell authentically. Because most entrepreneurs, they don't really focus on sales. They really just focus on product creation. How do I make my product a lot better and better? It doesn't matter what product you have. If you can't communicate that to your ideal client, they're not going to buy. So long story short for him, he's like a seven-figure salesperson now. He didn't become an entrepreneur. He's still in sales. He's an employee, but he's living the life he wants because he can increase his skill set. Who else? A dog trainer. I have dog trainers. I have pianists. I have financial educators. I have holistic health coaches. The journey is pretty much the same. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. If you know what to do, it's pretty simple to achieve that peak performance.
Thank you. For people that, let's say, are generally very good at following through once they have like a plan, but sometimes, let's say, something happens which disrupts kind of like their routine, and then they fall off the wagon. And this has happened to me multiple times, where, let's say, I remember many years ago, I started like running at 5 a.m., okay? And I'm not a morning person, but I had just decided that I'm going to be, you know, like this woman who runs at 5 a.m. And I started it and I was like doing great progress with it. Although, I mean, there were some dogs that were chasing me at some point, and that was a little bit unpleasant. And in the town I was living in, it was just full of vagabond kind of dogs. So that was, you know, not very nice. But I still, you know, was like, you know, pushing through, and, you know, I was feeling great. And then I remember my mom was like giving me this comment, like, oh, you never follow through. You never that's not going to work. Cause it's like, if you run one time, it's never going to work, you know? And it just, I don't know, it was just this comment that like put me off it completely. So I kind of stopped doing it forever, you know, and I don't think I've ever run at 5 a.m. since then. And of course, that's an extreme example. I'm sure most people don't get kind of sidetracked so quickly by a, you know, poor comment. But what would someone do who, let's say, generally is very good at, you know, implementing their own routine as long as they're like on their own? But what if other people come in and say, you know, you're never going to do this. You always do this other thing, and you suck basically in general. What would someone do who kind of tends to get off the wagon once other people kind of come and make their negative comments?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm sorry to experience that. Secondly, it's more common than you think, you know? There were two problems in what you described you were trying to do. You made an emotional decision to want to run at 5 a.m. It wasn't a strategic decision, because the idea of becoming somebody who wakes up at 5 a.m. and goes for a run meant something to you as a person. Right. So there was an emotion associated with it and not strategy. So if you were an early morning person and you are waking up at 4 a.m. in the morning every single day, I've done the rest of your life, 5 a.m. might be the best time, right? So I think number one, and this is not just you, this is everywhere, all across the board, in every area of life, the strategy is not there. Like, and I said it earlier, the emotions are our worst advisors. Emotions are our worst advisors. So the number one problem for anybody who's doing something like this is that you are really setting yourself up for failure because you're listening to your emotion. It's just inevitable, right? It's a great example of you are so successful in so many areas of life. Were you just not disciplined to do that? It wasn't a discipline problem, right? How is it that you're so disciplined in other areas of life and not just in one, right? It's a lack of strategy. The second thing is, I would say is, the tactic out, let's talk about the psychology aspect of it. We have to learn to be okay with being misunderstood. See, I'm sure in that moment when your mom was saying that, and this happens to so many entrepreneurs, family, friends, this, that, oh, you thought you were going to do this great thing and you never did it. You know, there's this misunderstanding. We feel like, oh, no, you're not understanding me. Like, no, I really wanted to do this. I was really all in, but you know, I faced this struggle and this. Just be okay with being misunderstood. You know, that should be, if people are used for affirmations, I would highly recommend adding that. I have some clients who do affirmations and I say, add that. Say it every morning. I am okay with being misunderstood. I'm okay with it. I don't have to convince the rest of the world. This is what I'm doing and this is why I'm doing. Be involved in yourself. So emotionally, when you made the decision of running and you didn't follow through, now you could strategically say, okay, what could I have done better? And since you didn't care about the emotional comment, you wouldn't be affected by it.
Thank you. The other thing that happened to me was like many, many years ago, I had this really great routine that I had for like a few years where I was swimming 3 times a week. I was dancing 3 times a week. I was playing tennis once a week. I was playing squash once a week. I was going for a walk once a week. And I was doing a lot of like housework in my house as well. So like, if you total it up, you'll know that basically I was incredibly fit. Like my energy was screaming energy from like miles away. And then I started dating this guy and he didn't want me to like go dancing because he didn't want me to dance with other people and he didn't have time to take me dancing. So like gradually I kind of stopped dancing. And then I kind of stopped, you know, going swimming because I had headaches. I was working too hard. And then I put on 30 kilos and I'm still in that situation. So it's been, you know, like now, I mean, I kind of lost interest in dancing, although I still like it. So how would you suggest someone like me who is like, you know, can generally, you know, stick to a peak performance mindset, but doesn't currently? Where would you say someone starts, you know, getting back on track?
Yeah. So the first question I would have for you is when you were doing the dancing and the walking and the squash and all the things, did you enjoy all of those activities or were you doing it just to be fit?
I really enjoyed them. Yeah.
Okay. It's easier to stick to habits that we truly enjoy, right? So getting back into dancing, what's the obstacle? Because you're no longer dating that person, right?
No, I still am.
Oh, you still are. Okay, because I thought you said it in a way that it made it seem like it was in the past. Sorry, boyfriend or husband, whoever it is. So you cannot go back to dancing for that. What is a habit that you would like to pick up again?
I guess dancing, but somehow I don't know how to say. It's almost like I lost interest in it, although I still love it, but I don't have that same stamina, you know, like that I used to have.
Yeah. I mean, so we're getting into different domains. Like stamina relates to energy. Energy relates to diet, right? It's always starts with diet.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a fun activity that somebody wants to do that they have gotten out of it, but they still really want to do it, right? Just find a friend, find a partner and just start going at it. Right. Don't care about how well you're doing it because you are no longer the same person. You know, for those who enjoy watching movies, right? You watch the movie on the phone, you watch the movie on the big screen, you watch the movie on TV. You don't really care because you enjoy it. Right. Sure, a big TV screen experience is better than your phone, but you still enjoy it. So really, it's digging deep into what is it that I really enjoy? And then when we genuinely enjoy stuff, we're excited to do it. Right. Just get started with it. Doing things alone is hard. And I know that for my wives as well, you know, because our perspective changes, our lives change. I have a son now, you know, I'm no longer 20 years old, right? And I don't want to be like, oh, let's just go to a place by myself and figure it out. Join groups, join friends. It's so much easier to get started that way.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can find you.
Yes. So you can find me on peakperformanceworld.com. I also have my own podcast, Peak Performance Perspectives. We're a top 10% globally ranked podcast. And YouTube, just my name, Mark Talukdar.
Thank you. And tell us, what else would you like people to know about the mindset of peak performers?
The most important thing is that you only live once and nobody really cares. You know, I this is not one of my original thoughts. I heard it from somewhere. And this person was saying, you know, they were talking about Queen Elizabeth. And that Queen Elizabeth, you know, ruled over a country for like, you know, so many decades. And the person said, until the moment right now I mentioned Queen Elizabeth, you didn't think of her at all. So here's a woman who was a leader of a nation for multiple decades. And after she passed away, we didn't even think about her. There's a lot of ego in thinking that my actions, I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't do that, because what is that person going to think? What is that person going to think? Nobody cares. And you live only once. So really think about, what do I enjoy doing? What do I want to do? What do I want to create? And then just go do it. That's where peak performance starts.
Thank you. What are the kind of things that trip up people when it comes to having a mindset of peak performance?
Number one is, what are other people going to think of me? Other people's opinions. You know, when I was at a 41% body fat, you know, I was morbidly obese. I was having 87 apneas an hour. That means I wouldn't breathe 87 times in an hour when I was sleeping. I would stop breathing. If I told somebody I want to be a competitive bodybuilder, because now in a year and a half later, I'm a competitive bodybuilder, right? I went from 41 to 6%. People would have been like, oh my gosh, really? How about you just lose 5 pounds first? Because why? Because it's not because they're mean, right? Everybody sees the world through their own eyes. And the way I like to say it is, if I have glasses and you have glasses and we switch glasses, neither of us would be able to see. Because your glasses are a prescription for you. My glasses are a prescription for me. Right? So we are all looking at the life through our experiences. What you might think is impossible, maybe it's not for me, and vice versa. So the number one thing that trips people up is other people's opinions, other people's reactions. If you can get rid of that, and I talked about being okay with being misunderstood, right? And really not worrying about other people's opinions, because you're going to die. And if Queen Elizabeth didn't stand a chance of living in memories of people, you and I surely don't, right? So just get started with it.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.